The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. It's my little buddy, Kelly Bidlin, everybody.
Yeah, loser. Right here on the Vegas Stats and Information Network. I just stepped outside, got a breath of fresh air. I'm feeling a lot better.
I know what you did. You stepped outside because you wanted to like memorize the name of the company that you work for. Like Vegas Stats. I got to remember this. Still to come this hour, Bob Stoll. You know him as Dr. Bob. And Wes Reynolds standing by to talk masters and college hoops with us.
Yeah.
First, though, our VSiN Bracket Challenge update. We didn't update the Bracket Challenge.
Oh, yeah, let's go. I don't know where I'm at. I went 1-1. So am I still right there?
You can't win.
Shucks. Where's Matt Brown at? Is he still leading?
Matt Brown in first place.
Wow.
Matt Brown would have it clinched, but for one thing. That in tie range is Jensen Lewis, co-hosted by the books.
Whew.
So Matt Brown's got 60 points. Jensen's got 50. Tonight's game is worth 10. So if Jensen hits his bet tonight and Matt does not hit his bet, now, of course, what Matt could do, because Jensen's game theory here was not very good, because Jensen already put in a pick.
He already submitted?
He put in under 142 on the Florida-Houston game.
Oh, so now we know what Matt's doing.
So Matt can just match that. Now, if Jensen is smart, he's faking him out, right? And he's leaving that up for as long as he can. Then he's going to get Matt to match it, and then he's going to go to something else. Because if Jensen hits his bet and Matt does not, Jensen wins because he got the tiebreaker would be, and tonight's game is worth 10 points, it would be a tie between those two. The tiebreaker is most points in the last round. So Jensen would win it.
I mean, I don't want to text Jensen to purposely fake out Matt.
I will text Jensen and purposely tell him to fake
out. But I kind of want to give him a heads up of I know exactly what Matt's going to do.
Now, in the real standings, the listener standings, which first prize is $3,000, second prize $1,500, third $500.
The one that matters a little bit more.
The one that matters a little bit more. It's a log jam up at the top. But Omar Ara, Donald Cho, we're only getting the first three letters of their last name, both tied with 70 points. Omar, 29-8-2. Donald, 26-12-1. But then you got a couple guys at 69. You got a third guy at 68. So it's anybody's game. We'll see.
I'm just like there is, you and I have known Matt Brown for many, many years.
Oh, since we were children.
What percent chance is he going to check if Jensen or to check standings, then see who's got a chance to catch him? See if they've submitted their selection.
100%.
100%.
Of course, I know what he's doing.
Yeah, Jensen.
Jensen, what are you? Maybe Jensen is outfoxing him, though. I don't know.
He might be. Say again, Rob?
See, Jensen strikes me as too above board to do that, though. Jensen strikes me as that's my pick and I'm going with it.
That's what I think, too.
Yeah.
Too.
Well, we gotta make sure he plays this correctly. It's all game theory at this point, boys. Wes Reynolds joins us now, ladies and gentlemen, part of the glue that holds this whole operation together. You can find him on Twitter at WesReynolds1. That's the number one. He comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Wes?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
I'm doing well. You would do the same thing, right? If you're Jensen, just fake him out and just go something else right at the last minute?
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Got to.
There are no Marquis of Queensberry rules here in this VSiN Bracket Challenge.
I have no idea what that means, but that's fantastic.
Me either, but I love it.
The Marquis of Queensberry. I love
yes.
it. Okay, well, let's start with college hoops. We'll crescendo to the Masters. The Duke finish against Houston. You are a basketball historian of sorts. Where does that rank for you in just the all-time epic collapses given the stage?
Yeah, it certainly has to rank up there high. When you look at Houston being down 14 with 10 minutes to go, it's like, okay, this team just can't make enough shots. You know, here we go again with Houston, right? They can't make enough shots. The offense is getting clamped down. But the one thing about Kelvin Sampson's teams is that defense stays true for 40 minutes. And that's what they're going to do. They're going to keep guarding. They're going to keep trying to rebound and get stops. And that's what they did against Duke. Duke didn't make a basket for the final 10-31 of the game. So you know, only got to the line a few times, and Houston just kept guarding and guarding and kept, you know, leaving them one and done, not giving up any offensive rebounds. And that was what was most impressive about Houston. They are plus 11 in the rebound margin against the Duke team with a lot of size. Not only Cooper Flagg, but the big 7'2 kid, Malawach, who, by the way, did not have a rebound in the game. This is a guy that's going to probably be a lottery pick in the NBA draft, certainly probably worked his way up, the young man out of South Sudan, and just it was a non-factor. And Houston this year has been different than previous years, where they've had shot makers and they've had guys like Jamal Shedd. They've had guys like Marcus Sasser that can make big shots, but aren't necessarily great shooters. Well, this year they have LJ Cryer, who's the guy that kept him in the game. Uzan was dealing with foul trouble, and Emmanuel Sharp was the guy that made him late and really kept him in. And I just thought the poise of Houston, not panicking, because Kelvin Sampson said after the game they'd been in this situation before. And they had on the road against Kansas. I remember they were down 6 with like 20 seconds left to go in regulation, and they forced overtime at the Fog and eventually won in double overtime. They were in this situation in Arizona where they were down in the final few minutes in the second half. So this team just stays composed and they stay together and, you know, we're able to pull it off. And press offense, I think, has got to be like topic A at basketball coaching clinics across the country, because Duke acted like they had never seen a press before, because never. They hadn't.
Yeah,
because they were up in all these games in the ACC. And, you know, when you're up 15, it's like, well, they're really not pressing you here in the final seconds. And Houston did. And Houston's ferocious enough in half court defense and then in press defense. They certainly were and got those turnovers. And then they get the ball out of Flagg's hands, make Proctor shoot the foul shot. Proctor is only 69%. He hits there, misses the front end, and it just all kind of snowballed and all bit by bit, little by little, just kind of worked out for the Cougars late.
Malawach, to put some numbers to what you were saying, minus 20 plus minus in 21 minutes. Not good. And we went through this in the first segment, sort of guessing line style, which is just there were so many moments in that run. And by the way, it was one field goal in the last 10-20, that Flagg three that splashed in, that put Duke back up 9 with over 3 minutes left. And there was that possession at that moment where Houston had 4 shots at it on one possession. They kept getting boards before Sharp put in a layup to cut it to 7. And it was sort of an innocuous possession at the time, because you're like, well, they're still down 7, right? There's, you know, it's 2.5 minutes left or whatever it was at right at that moment. But that, you look back on it, they needed every one of those, right? They need that possession just as important as anything else. That was big. And then the other one I brought up, Wes, was then after the tech, right, where Tugler reached over the out-of-bounds line and knocked it out of Sion James's hands, and then Knepple hits the free throw, the tech, to put Duke back up 6. There's 1:14 left, and Kelvin Sampson says, no fouls, we're playing this out. In that moment, were you surprised, or were you like, it's exactly what he would do?
I was surprised, actually, because, you know, when Tugler got that tee, you thought, okay, now it's over. Now you're getting into the foul fest. So now if you're on the under here, you're like, oh, man, here we go. This is going to last for about 25 minutes here in real time, 1:17 on the clock, because it's going to be foul city down the stretch. But Kelvin does not foul, and Kelvin's a little bit more conventional, because if you saw in the first half, and this is one thing I do disagree with, is with a lot of coaches, not just Kelvin Sampson, where you get a player with 2 fouls and he auto benches him immediately.
Yeah.
And I like it when you roll with it. It's like, sometimes you got to say, and as simple as this sounds, don't foul. You know, just don't foul here. You got 2 instead of auto benching. But yeah, he does not foul. So 47 seconds left to go. Knipple misses the layup. Tugler gets the block. Sharp goes down and hits the 3. Well, there's only like 32 seconds left. So it's like, well, now you can't play it out. This is not the NBA where you got a 24-second clock. And was able to do that and was able to pressure the turnover. They get the lay-in. And then the pressure where they get the ball, like I was saying, out of Proctor's hand or into Proctor's hands. And that was the key. You did not want Flagg up there. You did not want any of the other guards or Knipple up there. I think Knipple's like over 90% and Flagg is in the mid 80s. So you didn't want those guys at the foul line, and they got the right guy at the foul line. And then Houston ends up pulling it off. Roberts gets fouled and takes the lead for good.
It's so amazing, though, because, and I pointed this out in the first segment, too, is with that, you know, the inbounds pass that got stolen, they miss the three and then they get the follow up jam to cut it to one. Right. If they make that three, it plays out differently, too, because then they don't foul. Houston get Duke gets one shot to either win or we go to overtime. Right. So everything worked out almost perfectly for or exactly, you know, as it should have for Houston to have pulled this off. It's just an incredible ending. And so it comes after that game. Houston is installed. You can't make a bet unless it's installed. Wes, I don't know if you know that. Houston, a 1-point favorite. Now Florida's a 1-point favorite. Do you agree that if this were not a national title standalone, that that most people would opt not to bet this and they would just sit back and enjoy a game that who knows at this point who would win?
More than likely, because it is, I think, a coin flip game. These have been two of the top teams in all the metric sites, the KenPom and the Bartorvik and Haslam and everybody that does these metric sites. Eben Maya would have these two teams as top four teams in America, and they certainly are getting to the national championship game. So it really is. There's any number of ways I think that should go, and you can make a case really for either side. I personally bet Houston plus one tonight. I'm going to go with the team that can put clamps on you defensively and the team that can slow the game down and make it more of a half court game. We saw Florida and Auburn, which was up and down, but it still went under the total. I just think I'm going to go with the team. If it's going to be tight, which I think it is, the team that can slow the game down. And I think that's Houston.
Yeah. Houston formula play, Kelly, formula play on Houston.
That's right.
They apply. Todd Golden trying to buck it again.
I'm just rooting against the Gators tonight.
That's your thing.
Go down Florida. Florida State. Let's go. Baseball school.
Wedge FSU baseball school into the conversation. Wes, kind enough to join us for two. We'll talk about the Masters with him on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
Want to know where the money is really going? Unlike other sources, our betting splits come straight from Circa and DraftKings Sportsbooks, giving you insight into where the sharp action is landing. Circa is known for taking big bets from professional bettors, while DraftKings provides a broader market perspective. That means you're getting the real action, not just public money, but the kind of wagers that move lines. See the percentage of bets versus percentage of handle on every game across every major sport, helping you make smarter, more informed bets. Get VSiN's summer special right now for only $59 until August 1st. At VSiN.com/subscribe. How you doing, man? You okay? You feeling a little lightheaded yet after all this paint?
Don't do what I just did the last two breaks and leave the studio because you realize how bad it really
is. We're going down. We're going down. There's no question we're going down. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate it. By the way, went to my restaurant, my home team restaurant yesterday. You know which one? At the Aria?
Carbone?
Uh-huh. And, Not only was Bill Adie and girlfriend there as well. I don't know if she wants to be named or not. But so was a dolled up Isaiah Wrinkle. Miles was there. Alex was there. But a dolled up Isaiah Von Wrinkle was the highlight for me.
What was this like an owner's manager's dinner or something?
I don't know. All I know is I'm rolling into my spot and there they are. They like wave me down from across. And I'm like, look at these guys.
Wow. I mean, well deserved.
No, I mean, this is awesome. Anyway, why was I bringing that up? Oh, because I messed up my shirt. Do you have weird things in life that bother you more than other human beings and you hate yourself because it bothers you so much? I think I messed up a shirt because I got spackle on.
I was going to say, I mean, like, I know myself at 38 years old, I would not walk into an Italian restaurant wearing a white shirt of any kind.
Well, because it is white.
It is a 100% chance that I will spill something on it.
We get tweets at Benny the Book. Jesse Welch. You want to know what would be a super unique segment this week? You guys should list what your own Masters dinner would be. That would be incredible radio.
Came back from last break laughing at this one, Jesse.
Because everybody does that.
Everybody does this.
Oh, God.
And good for Scottie Scheffler. I do believe his menu is like designed for like a 10-year-old, if I've seen it. Like it's like, you know, good old brisket, Texas brisket. And like it's like chicken. And I don't know.
That's why Max Homa has got to win this. Gotta win this. The numbers, guys. If only Duke could have finished the last minute of that game as abruptly as that Paul Sporer interview wrapped up. Yeah, I kind of ran him into the wall. I didn't say yes or no. I said just real quick. I thought I said yes or no.
Sorry. I don't know.
Sorry, my bad.
We'll play it back. Cheeseburger sliders, firecracker shrimp, Texas style chili, and then ribeye or blackened redfish. That's what Scotty Shuffler
said. That is so American. T for three. I thought one fun way to play tonight's game was Houston to win the first half, Florida win the second half. Houston could run out of steam, and Clayton will find a way. 5-1 shot. He's got him, I guess, most outstanding player. Brian M., if Kelly goes down, I'm surprised you guys are playing the old Burger King crown game. I expected a detailed line of succession for the producer role, maybe ring the bell of San Marco. That's right. We should have a detailed line of succession.
Yeah, why Tom Check's sitting back there? He's done the job before. He's
looking on how to get in there. Los Vegas 514. Yo, I have a bracket with Houston to win the championship. The pot is $500. I know you're not a fan of hedging. Hedge or not to hedge? That is not the question. I don't know. How much does that $500 mean to you, man?
Yeah.
Oh. C-Spec, sorry for the lame answer, but I don't know.
No, I think you always answer that correctly. Yeah. If it's a life-changing amount of money whatever that might mean for you, like then it's something you should consider. If not, let it ride.
C. Spackler, he said, who cares about brain damage? Gil will not move from his microphone. He has a show to do. Thank you, C. Spackler. You darn right I do.
That is the truth. This man is a machine.
I'm liking that tweet right there. Bing. That's what happens when you like it. It goes bing. Jonathan Call, has anybody discussed the pathetic performance by Bruce Pearl in the Saturday loss? Oh, I did not. Took two timeouts home with him while not scoring from the 4-minute mark until 31 seconds left. Can't draw up a play during those crucial moments. Well, not only can he not draw it up, but did you actually see like the assistant coaches drawing up the play and Pearl was like kind of a supervisor? Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
I was a little taken aback by that. Anyway, Wes Reynolds, kind enough to join us for segment number two. Wes, did you notice that about Bruce Pearl where he was like, yeah, that looks like a good play?
Yeah, well, yeah, I thought he got outmaneuvered by his old pupil, Todd Golden, who was, of course, on his staff back there in 14-16 down in Auburn. And yeah, he seemed like, well, I don't really necessarily know what to do here and, you know, just letting him play it out. But sometimes you got to manage that possession by possession, especially when it's one or two possessions down the stretch. And Auburn really didn't do that on Saturday.
No, sure did not. Okay, to the Masters. I always like to be official here. The 89th Masters on CBS. You see, Jim Nantz is like, oh, one more his next contract goes to like 2030 something. He's like, that'll be my last Masters. So he's got like a decade to go. What have you bet so far, Wes? Let's start with that.
Just a couple, actually, in the hopper, because the thing about the Masters is this. These are up since like last fall. So you constantly get maneuvering in the market. So whatever happens, and in talking to other fellow bettors, you probably end up on more guys than you would normally want in a smaller field, which is now down to 95 players with Vijay Singh's withdrawal this morning. But you end up with more guys, and because you have such a lead up to it, it's also going to be the most bet golf event of the season. So when you're looking at these prices, you got to really look around to try to find value, because you don't get as much perceived value as you would think necessarily, because these prices are all beat down. Like if you even notice, and I'm looking on the graphic there on the first page, you'll get a fair amount of the LIV players, because a couple years ago when this first happened, the LIV players, because they were out of sight, out of mind, and you really weren't modeling them for stats necessarily, and they had only played like a couple of events, those prices went to the moon, and then those guys really showed out in the majors, especially the Masters a couple years ago. So that, you know, they don't want to get caught with their pants down again necessarily and give these big prices on Brooks Koepka or John Rahm or DeChambeau or any of these guys. So that's why you're seeing them, I think, so low, and you're not getting the value where it's like, okay, I'm going to sneak up on them because they're ignoring these players on the board.
All right. Did I hear who you bet so far? Maybe I missed it. Who did you bet?
Okay. A couple. I forgot to give those out.
That's all right.
I do have some Ludwig Ober that I bet around the time he was winning the Genesis. Now he misses the cut last week at the Valero, and that trend is usually not your friend there. But there was some really bad weather, at least from a wind standpoint, if you watch that tournament this weekend at the Valero. So I'm willing to ignore that. So I already had a ticket on him. I already had a ticket on Justin Thomas at about 28-1. That's not something I necessarily love this week, because some of these guys that you bet, you're going to like when you bet them, and then come the week of like when you're handicapping a normal tournament, it's like, I don't know if I would necessarily play them this week. So do have a piece of him. And then I'm probably going to have one or two short guys here because this is usually a class player that wins this event. You've had some longer odd guys win here, but not as many as you would think. So I'm trying to figure out how to play Rory McIlroy without necessarily playing an outright. That might be a top five. That might be a top 10, but it's the same thing every year, Gil. It feels like it's Rory's year, right? It's like this has got to be his year. He's been trying to complete this since 2015 was the first time he's been trying to win the Masters to complete the career Grand Slam. But Rory is in the best form he's ever been in.
Yeah.
And his game, I think, is really in the best shape because he's already won twice this year. He's already won at Pebble Beach, which was a signature event, and then he's won at the Players Championship, which is the quasi, quote-unquote, fifth major, or what it used to be referred to as. So he's in the great form. Trying to figure out how deep I want to go with long shots on the board. There certainly are some interesting prices, but I don't think this is one you necessarily want to load up because there's so many different markets that you can bet here. You can bet those top 20s and the top 30s and whatnot and make or miss cut props and nationality props. So yeah, you don't want to, I think, go crazy and like, oh, I got a bunch of guys at 150-1 to win the Masters because those 150-1s don't usually get home here.
Yeah, Wes, only a couple outrights for me that I bet before this week. Added Shane Lowry yesterday, and then I might end up on what other short shot with you. I'm looking at Rory, too. I think that's where I'm going to be attacking. It is. I think there are very little guys that can win this event. How are you handling the LIV players? Because I do think it's interesting this year as opposed to past years where you've got, you know, Neiman's been playing well. John Rahm hasn't finished outside the top 10. Sergio Garcia's playing good golf. Is there anybody you're really considering there?
A couple, Cameron Smith at 70-1, who really hasn't gone, you know, done very well so far this year, but it's one of those things where you got to ignore the recent form and you got to look at the long term. And it's like, this guy just loves this place and he's finished inside the top 10 a ton here. So that would be one I would look at. You mentioned Neiman. There's a guy that I think because he's won a couple times and we talk about win equity all the time, Kelly, on long shots, I think he's priced way too low. I think 28-1, 25-1, he should be like double that because he's never gotten it done in a major. So you want to be careful with some of those guys that are like the hot guys coming in, but because this is a whole new level. But I'll tell you one that I think I am going to add, and he's a guy I won on a couple weeks ago. I'm going to play Minwoo Lee, I think, at 60-1.
All right.
I think so. I think he's got the game here, and now that he's got that win, I think he comes in a different frame of mind. So Minwoo is probably going to make the card, and I will have that column released tomorrow morning.
Column released tomorrow morning, and long shots is when, guys?
Long shots recording at 11:15 tomorrow.
Recording at 11:15 tomorrow. Yeah. So out thereafter.
Yeah, out thereafter.
All right. Wes, we'll get to that music segment. You and I in our dream music segment sometime this summer, okay?
You bet. Looking forward to it.
My man, Wes Reynolds, everybody on A Numbers Game. Coming back with Dr. Bob next.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
You ready to take your sports betting to a whole nother level? SharpPlays at SharpPlays.com is your secret weapon since 2011. They've been building trusted relationships with major sportsbooks and sports insiders worldwide. They provide daily updates on what top pro sports bettors and betting groups are wagering on, so you're always ahead of the game, but that's not all. They just launched a cutting-edge AI betting analyst that provides even more selections and reports, giving you the edge you need to win. The best part, you can check out the SharpPlays free content anytime. Get real-time betting action reports, alerts, and more through email and X directly from the pros, plus explore all of their records, including detailed online logs, right on the website at SharpPlays.com. With the SharpPlays, you're joining a team that's never had a losing year. What do you have to lose? Start today. Get access to the best betting insights at SharpPlays.com. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciated. Sean Mayer. Duke's best inbound the last 2 minutes was when the guy got the tech for stealing the ball while he was out of bounds. You are correct. Got the tech. You are absolutely right. And even at that point, it looked like Duke was going to win and maybe even cover. They were up 6 with 1:14 left, and Kelvin Sampson said, let's play it out. No fouls. And the rest is history. C. Spackler added, he says, why are you guys talking so slow and like Foghorn Leghorn? Because if this continued, that would happen for sure. Max Holman need to win this tournament, though. Martel J, ANG mental picture of the day, Spore giving Kelly belly rubs, telling him he's a good boy, asking if he wants a treat, then bringing him an adult beverage.
Man, I'm okay with that, especially after going down to Austin last summer. Woo. Good eats at the barbecue.
Yes, indeed. Whew. Oh, by the way, you make an NFL draft bet?
Not anything else this weekend. No, I did tail Mr. Felica on going on the over 9.5 with Ashton Jeanty, which I completely plan on losing.
Okay. What you plan on losing? Okay.
I'm a believer with Chris, though, that like these teams got other things to worry about besides running back at the top of this draft.
Made my first bet. I took Travis Hunter to go number 2, -135. Feels like it's going Ward Hunter at the top. After that, I got no idea. None. I don't know what the Giants
like it.
Are doing.
I'm honestly number 2 and number 3. I'm trying to just stay away from. I have no idea with these teams.
It gets murky after that to me. But I think Travis Hunter is going to. I think the Browns are like, why would the Browns sort of enhance a strength already and take Abdul Carter? I just don't see them doing that. I don't.
Yeah.
Anyway, we shall see. Draft a mere weeks away. Masters and then into draft, full draft coverage after that. This man had Houston plus the points the other day in the national semifinal and didn't look good till late. And then all of a sudden, not only did he get the cover, they won outright. It's Dr. Bob, everybody. Bob Stoll comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line at drbobsports.com, drbobsports on Twitter, predictive sports modeling pioneer. What do you have to say for yourself, Bob? It worked out after all.
It did work out. They played so bad the entire game, fumbling the ball away. Like, I've watched Houston play a few times, and I'm like, God, they're like fumbling off their leg. They're not grabbing onto rebounds, and it seems like they get a rebound, and then they fumble it away. And then Duke's, I was like, what is going on here? Yeah, it did not look good. But Duke hasn't been in many close games, and they showed their inexperience. I mean, man, Houston's been in some close games, and it showed in the last couple minutes.
It really did show. I mean, I spun that the other way earlier because when I first started talking about this, and I had Duke before you had come on the show, I had Duke minus the points. And, you know, my whole spin was, wow, you know, Houston's 9 of 17 from three. If they're even 6 of 17, they're down 20, right? Like, to me, it was just amazing that they were still even in it at all. As Kelvin Sampson said famously after the game, he was like, how much were we down by? They were like 14. He goes, good thing it wasn't 17, you know, because that would have been all the difference. But it works out. And I think you're right. I think it really can be distilled to that one. Duke was just not used to playing games like that. And it showed. So it's the national championship. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, Bob, tonight. Houston and Florida. Houston opened as a 1-point favorite. Florida is now the 1-point favorite. Total at 141. Is that what I'm seeing right now? I said earlier that if anybody comes out here and tells you, oh, this team's absolutely crushing tonight, they're probably just, you know, delusional, because who knows what will happen here. But I'm just curious, from a number standpoint, what do you have?
Well, these teams are pretty even. My ratings make it a pick. I think everybody loved Florida coming into the tournament. And, you know, Florida hasn't been, I mean, they're 2-3 against the spread. You rarely see a team that makes the championship game that has a losing spread record throughout the tournament. There aren't too many of those. And actually, I think I looked it up and tried to look it up, and it's 4-7-1 against the number for those teams. So it's not a good omen for them. But part of what I do in the tournament is there are certain statistical profile indicators. There are certain metrics, offensive rebounding, 3-point shooting, certain things that can indicate success or failure relative to how, you know, where you otherwise would be in the NCAA tournament. So there are certain statistical things that make you a good NCAA tournament team. Houston has those. Florida doesn't necessarily have those. They're not negative, but Houston has been positive in those statistical profile indicators throughout the tournament. They are probably the first, I think they're top in the statistical profile in the case as a team that should do well relatively in the tournament. They're 3-1-1 against the number in the tournament. So based on that, which has been a good indicator over the years, I made a half unit play on Houston, and I dug into the matchup a little bit. I mean, Houston is not a good 2-point shooting team, and Florida, just like Duke, has an elite 2-point defense. Duke was third in the nation in 2-point defense. Florida's fifth in the nation in 2-point defense. But Houston has actually performed relatively better offensively against good 2-point defensive teams because they can knock down threes. They're now number one in the nation in 3-point shooting percentage. And I mentioned that when they face Duke, they don't need to be great inside the arc, and they're not going to maybe try to be because Duke is so good. And when they do miss shots inside the paint, they get a lot of those rebounds, which is what I mean, they're a great offensive rebounding team. And so similarly, they're facing a Florida team that's great in two-point defense, but that hasn't hurt Houston. Houston's offense, like I said, relatively better against better two-point defensive teams. The thing is, they need to face a team that doesn't shut, that allows them to take some three-pointers. So I looked it up against teams that are in the top 70 in lowest defensive three-point attempt percentage. So three-point attempts as a function, as a percentage of overall field goal attempts allowed. They face five teams that are in the top 70 in not giving up three-point shots. Houston's only had four losses, but three of them against those teams. They're 2-3 straight up against teams that rank in the top 70 and not allowing three-point shots. Florida's 119th in that metric, so they're out of that range. They don't necessarily stop the threes. So if Houston can get off some three-point shots and make, like I said, if they make 35-36%, then I think that's a winner. You know, so they just are one of those teams that should be good in the tournament based on their statistical profile. So far they have been. So I did a half unit bet on Houston at plus one tonight.
I hope folks paid attention to every word of that, and especially like newer or newish bettors, because that is, and by the way, within that, Bob, is one of the things that I think you do the best, which is, you know, you do a great job of, this team has a great two-point defense. Guess what? Against this team, that doesn't matter, right? It gets nullified because it's not the opponent that is good for exploitation. So it's, and then against the, you know, defending the arc, Florida is not one of the great teams. So that's kind of, that feels like a masterclass in handicap. Now it has to manifest tonight. Obviously anything can happen in one game, but I'm feeling what you're putting down there. What about the total? Any take on that? 141?
No, I made it 140. So it's not, you know, but the in the NCAA tournament, I have, in the last 33 years, as far back as my database goes, the under is 19-14 in the championship game. So, and it's in the dome, you know, that can affect scoring a little bit, shooting, although it didn't affect it the other night. Houston made a high percentage of threes, but normally in a dome, teams don't make as many three pointers. You know, it's Clayton. It's Florida. It's up to Clayton. If he can penetrate the Houston defense, but who has? I mean, Houston's 2-point defense is also elite. So it's going to be interesting. If Houston makes the threes, great. If Clayton Jr. goes off again, then Florida probably wins. But Houston's defense is so, so good, and they rebound so many of their missed shots. So I just would rather have Houston. I think the line is more than fair, and the indicators favor them. So, but I don't see much on the total. Like I said, I make it 140, and it's 141, so I'm not betting the total.
Yeah, the total, by the way, feels like it's like, oh, yeah, Florida, you know, Florida against a normal team is in the 160s. Houston is obviously the lower totals, and they just like jammed it in the middle of that.
Average jump. Yep. Yeah.
That's what it feels like. Bob, you are a joy. Thank you for all the appearances during the season, man.
All right. Good to talk to you guys. Have a good summer.
Enjoying his time off now. Dr. Bobby goes into summer, the summer time of year here early, gets to enjoy his family and then college football. He just goes nuts working on preparing for teams. Obviously with the transfer portal now, it's even that much more difficult. So he's got his work cut out for him, but he gets some time off.
Yeah, we gotta have a good summer.
Well, that dissertation on the national championship game that he just gave right here, by the way, we need to cut this and put it social, is about as convincing as I could have possibly imagined we would have gotten, because now I'm totally betting Houston after that.
Okay. Totally. I like it.
That was great. And what he said made a whole bunch of sense to me. Now, again, one game, anything can happen. But that was, even though it's only a half unit from Bob, pretty convincing to me. Houston and Florida, 8:50 Eastern tip-off, 5:50 Pacific, here on the West Coast from the Alamo Dome in San Antonio. Kelly and I on the other side will recap all the bets on the show today. Hosts and guests, there's a bunch of them. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland, Kelly by the law on the old Twitter machine. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Jack Olequire chimed back in. He said, hey, Gil, fourth brother is Jerry. They got four brothers, all with the first letter J. But he's flying down. He said, smells in our truck, too. Jeff is complaining. Binomial distribution once more. People like the binomial. New York Mets 16. We need Houston tonight, so next year when we try to weed out a champion, it's either the tried and true formula or the anomaly of UConn. Yeah. Again, formula, tried and true. Houston always qualified. They're the formula champ tonight. Florida and Todd Golden trying to buck the no previous Sweet 16 experience, only with two historical exceptions. Kevin Ollie in 2014 and Dan Hurley in 2023, both with UConn. That's what he's referring to. Best bets from GBank, the official bank of VSiN. Every host, every guest, every sport, and every show recap so that you can sort of do your little cliff notes here at the end. I have a few. One, I've got the Padres A's over. I had an 8 minus 142, and then I also played 8.5 even. So I played both of them, just being full disclosure here in my betting accounts. Travis Hunter, second overall pick, minus 135. My first NFL draft bet, as the toe is dipped on an event that used to be a cash cow for bettors. Last couple years, not so much. Caleb Bidelon, what do you have?
Yeah, you guys can throw up my Masters graphic again. I got nothing tonight. I don't know, college basketball. I might just be sitting and watching. I might end up on Houston.
I think I'm betting Houston.
I'm very okay just rooting against Florida. Yeah, so here's what I got so far. Again, Akshay Batia and Sepp Straka I bet earlier in the season. However, I probably will be adding bets to Straka. I've got a lot of top 20s and top 10 stuff circled, just so you guys know out there, but we are... His name is spelled wrong. Yeah. I got a lot of that stuff circled, just waiting for markets to open up here in town so we can price shop correctly. But there were a couple I wanted to jump in on early. I saw a plus 140 on Colin Morikawa at stations here in town where Ty's paying full. Thought, if anything, that'd probably go the other way, so I wanted to get that bet in. I understand. It sounds like we're hearing a lot of Morikawa love already.
Yeah, feels like it.
I get it. He rates out very, very highly for me. I've just got Morikawa winning questions at this point, so I will be happy loading up on a top 10 for him and just leave that alone at plus 140. And then Shane Lowry is the only other outright I added, 45-1, and then covered him in a top 10 market at 3-1. I don't know. Other outrights... Gil, I think it's going to be these three that I have, and then I am probably going with Scheffler or Rory, because I think it is those two at the top, and they're a little bit in a tier by themselves heading into this Masters.
It's an interesting tournament always, because it's not only is it the most predictive of all courses, but it's a small field, right? 95 now, with Vijay Singh pulling out this morning, as Wes said. And then there's a group of, 15 to 20 guys who are past champs who have no shot at winning. Right. So it's artificially, small field always at Augusta. Joe Pita's on the Orioles today against the Diamondbacks, a little interleague play. Joe Pita with his play. Thank you, Joe. Orioles plus 109 is his baseball selection of the day. And then we got Jake Hahn on the show. Jake's got two hockey plays. He's on the St. Louis Blues. Moneyline plus 143. Blues trying to extend their winning streak here. And then he's the Kings on the puck line, minus the goal and a half, plus 122. Speaking of Colin Morikawa, Jay Kahn on Colin Morikawa to win the Masters, 18-1. Then after Jake came on the show, the next one was...
Got Dr. Bob.
Dr. Bob,
yep.
Who's on Houston with a half unit. Houston Cougars tonight, half unit. GBank, the official bank of VSiN, upping the ante with up to a $750 bonus for new GBank Visa signature card customers. The paint is getting to me. First new customers who spend $1,000 on eligible purchases within 90 days from account opening receive a $250 bonus. In addition, if you spend $50,000 on gaming and sports app loads within the 30 days of account opening, you'll receive another $500 bonus. That's potentially a $750 bonus. Apply now. VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSiN.com/GBank. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions apply. Congratulations to the UConn Huskies, Gino Auriemma and the UConn Huskies. I don't know if anybody had a bet on them to win it all, but Paige Beckers completes her college career. She'll be the number one pick in the WNBA draft. She is hard not to love. Paige Beckers.
Man, they cruised, didn't they?
They crushed Dawn Staley in South Carolina yesterday. And I don't know what this is, and I don't know if you're like this at all, but I don't know what this says about me. When Paige Beckers hugged Gino Auriemma, and I haven't watched, I mean, let's be honest, I've watched less than 5 minutes of women's college basketball this year probably, but when they hugged, and I'm obviously familiar with Paige's story and all the injuries, I got a little misty about it. And I don't know what it is. Maybe it's, you know, when Coco Gauff won the U.S. Open, I didn't have a bet on Coco, and she just started sobbing uncontrollably. I started sobbing uncontrollably. So I don't know if it's a thing with, you know, with women's athletics where the emotion hits me in a different way, but I felt so great for them, for both of the, for the entire team. UConn runs away with it yesterday, which was awesome.
I mean, sports are just overwhelming sometimes, right? I mean, people reaching their dream. It's incredible.
It's awesome.
It's incredible.
It's awesome.
And she's been there for 17 years. So, yeah, worked hard at it.
We also have a Jensen Lewis update. Jensen has texted us. Jensen, co-host of By the Books with Dave Ross, our buddy here, weekday mornings at the network.
Well, this is good timing, too, because Matt Brown is up next. So he's probably walking in right now.
So he can't
even
hear this.
Yeah.
All right. So in the VSiN bracket challenge, the VSiN employees and hosts included in their section of this, Matt Brown, 10-point lead over Jensen. They're the only two people that can win this, okay? This is no cash prize. This is just for pride and bragging rights.
Although maybe we can drum up a cash prize before maybe it's all said and done. Yeah.
Maybe it's a bare-fisted boxing if they get tied. No, that's not in the time.
Well, I like that.
Okay, so Matt has a 10-point lead. The result of tonight's game, winning picks get 10 points. So the only way that Matt can lose is if Jensen's pick is correct and Matt's is incorrect. Jensen has already put his pick in, right, so that it's viewable. And we were saying out loud here on the show earlier, I hope Jensen is doing that so that he fakes out Matt, so that Matt will wait till the end, see that, will try to put in the matching pick so that he'll clinch it, and then Jensen will do the rope-a-dope and immediately change his play so that he has the opportunity to tie, and the tiebreaker is most points in the final round, and he would therefore win. So Jensen has texted us, and he has said, I love when he starts his text by saying, Jensen Lewis here. I know it's you, Jensen. He says, Cam sent me the clip of you and Kelly talking about the bracket competition between me and Matt tonight. I love it, he said in capitals. I wanted Matt to know that pick to see if he'd bite. He says, I have the other one I really liked that I will potentially switch to before lock tonight.
Yeah, let's go. You get to know Jensen Lewis just a little bit more.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
He's got a little more game in his game than we might have imagined.
Not just the nice former pro athlete coming here to do shows and going to put some picks in. No, trying to do old rope-a-dope on Matt Brown.
Mild-mannered reporter from a daily Metropolitan newspaper. That's not him at all. There's Matt Brown right outside the studio, so he definitely didn't hear any of that. There you go.
He's probably hearing it right now, though.
I don't know what you're talking about. Let's move on.
And on to weather.
Weather on the ones. I know you love that when local radio says weather on the ones.
Yep.
Last thing, I briefly alluded to this weekend, but the Oklahoma City Thunder's pursuit of 70 wins, man, did that crash and burn. Not only will they not get to 70, they ain't getting to 69 either.
Nope.
Square root of 8 something.
These, trying to think of the reference. Sorry. Okay, these standings.
Drake.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. I thought I got one for once. These standings are going to be so important with the West, how this ends. I mean, like, OKC. I'm loaded up on OKC bets. You don't want to see Luka Doncic ever. If that wasn't made apparent last year, I mean, yesterday, this is Luka. It lives rent-free inside those guys' head a bit. And I am scared of them running into the Lakers.
Well, tomorrow with Drew, to that point, I know he's been concocting this in his lab, potential Western Conference series prices, and jot them down and then how you might be able to exploit them once the playoffs actually start. We'll do that.
Mm-hmm.
But getting back to the point here, I know you hijacked that for a second. Is Daigneault done now for Coach of the Year? Now they can't get to 70? Is that over?
I'd think so, but...
And is Draymond winning Defensive Player of the Year? Like, the Dort bets are not going to come through.
I don't know. No, I still don't get that one. I still don't get the Draymond love. You want to say he's up there, it's fine. We can make a lot of great cases for Draymond. The problem is that when you can't answer one pushback question, it's like, well, yeah, but all of that started when Jimmy Butler got there.
That's correct. Almost precisely.
So, like, that kills his case almost immediately.
And then there's another bigger question we have to talk with Drew. I wish we had more time to talk today, but all y'all NBA hardos, sort of take the Houston Rockets and you cast them aside very dismissively, very casually.
Yeah.
And they beat OKC and they beat the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, back to back.
They look good.
We have to have a serious Houston Rockets.
Yeah,
discussion.
That's fine. I'm fine losing to the Rockets. I don't believe in them. I'll keep being that guy.
Yeah. I don't believe in them.
I don't believe in them.
As they beat you, you're like, yeah, I'm fine with this. This is perfectly fine. Shoulder's fine.
We'll be betting against
Cody Bellinger. Stormy is next with the aforementioned Matt Brown, who heard nothing about what we just spoke. That's next on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Enjoy.